Like I said, the law of correspondences means that as above, so below, with a twist. Because God says, "Behold, I do all things new." Now that's different than what is taught in most religions. People say God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Actually, He's not. That's a completely wrong doctrine. In the context that was written, what it really means is you depended on God yesterday, you can depend on God tomorrow. That's the context of what it means when it says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when He explains about creation, He says, no, that's not true. I do all things new. He says that several times in the Scriptures. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to do new things. Things that have never been done before. So, it's talking about the new age and the new world and the new heaven that's going to be created in the book of Revelations. It's going to be new. Even Isaiah in the Old Testament talks about God saying, "Behold, I shall do new things. Things that have never been done before. So I do." And this will happen. And this is our purpose, is to perceive what will be new and different. When you want to create something, if you're going to be a great painter, like I say, you paint a great work, and then are you satisfied forever? I've done this great work. This is the greatest painting that one could ever make. I'm just going to paint the same thing over and over again for eternity. Would you do that? Now, you are in the image of God. Since you're in the image of God, if you want to know how God thinks, ask yourself how you think. If you are a creator, are you just going to create the same thing over and over and over again? Are you going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is there anything that would be more boring? But you want to be depended on, dependable yesterday, today, and forever. But you don't want to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many divorces happen because one spouse says, "Well, you know, you haven't changed since I married you. You just bored me to death. I got to move on." And that happens sometimes in marriages. We just get stuck. It's hard not to get stuck because we get comfortable. We get into routine. We get comfortable. And sometimes we just have to sit back and say, "Well, am I too comfortable? Let's do something different. Let's stimulate some new type of activity." I've been thinking this myself. I've been thinking, well, maybe I've been too much the same lately. Maybe I have to change a little bit. I've been contemplating that myself. And this is what we have to do. Jesus says you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Why did He say that? It's because we get in a rut. We get in a rut in our lives. When we're young, we go to college, we're learning stuff, we have new relationships all the time. We're always into new stuff. We're learning new songs. How many people, when they get older, the only songs they remember is from when they were young? You know, and we don't even know what the new music is. We don't learn new songs. We don't learn new things. We don't learn new books. We get in a rut. And you know what the solution for that is? It's death. Death is the solution. That's why we die. We die so we can be born again. Now, one of the keys of overcoming death is to be born again without dying. If we can force ourselves out of our little ruts into new learning, into being born again, into entirely new situations just because we have decided it, then you can be born again without dying. And that means what? That means you don't have to die. Unless you want to. You know? Of those that enter the celestial kingdom, it's written in the Doctrine and Covenants, all things are theirs, whether life or death. Think of that. All things are theirs, whether life or death. What does that mean? It means you can prolong your life as long as you want. Or, if you want to, you can die. Or it means you can go to the other worlds, to the higher worlds after death, and stay there as long as you want. You don't have to be incarnated. Or you can choose to be incarnated again and go through the life-death cycle. Or you can enter the life-death cycle, prolong your physical life, and decide to keep it going as long as you want, like DK is doing. He's 300 years old, and he keeps it going. He'll probably die eventually, but it'll be when he decides. When he's done everything he can in a physical body, he'll just say, well, I'm going to move on now. And he'll be like Jesus and said, Father, receive my spirit. And he will just go peacefully. He says that's how we will all eventually learn how to die. He says death is kind of tough on us now because we go through a lot of disease and pain and suffering. And he says this is really unnecessary. He says we will eventually learn to just, when we're done with our physical body, we will just be like Jesus and say, Father, receive my spirit, and we'll make a peaceful transference with no pain whatsoever. That'd be a nice way to go, wouldn't it?
You know what Moses did?
By Moses?
Yes. He says that no man knows his resting place. And
right.
He was 120 years old, and his natural force was not abated. And he just went out in the wilderness and disappeared.
Right. Whoever wrote the account of Moses didn't know what happened to him. He just disappeared. And no man knew where he was buried, it said. And it said that he was, 120 years old and still in great health. Still had all his vital force. So, most people think he was translated or something. Okay, that's we're pretty close to the time we have to go. Do you have any questions before we wrap this little section up? Yeah, the male-female energy is fascinating to consider because the females, it's interesting how the female energy is coming into its own. Females are getting the recognition they finally deserve because their energy is being seen as something that is real. It's interesting that when Newton discovered the laws of gravity, which is the law, really the laws of scientific female energy, from that point on, females started coming into their own power. So as soon as we began to understand gravity and magnetism and all these things, we started to get a glimpse of what female energy is. And females started getting more recognition, more rights, the right to vote, the right to boss us around a lot, tell us what to do. They're certainly getting their, coming into their power now a lot more than ever before. Matter of fact, there's a lot more females graduating from college now than males. When I was in college, while I went to the University of Idaho, there were three or four guys to every female there. And it was really tough getting a date in that school. But now, last I heard, it was not even close to that anymore. And matter of fact, James, your boy's going to Moscow. Do you know the ratio of male to female there now?
It's still pretty heavy over more male than there.
Is it?
Really?
Yeah, I bet it's not 3 to 4 to 1, though. It's probably close. I bet it's...
Probably 3 to 2.
3 to 2, yeah. Okay.
And she is more
of a
male.
Okay, yeah, Curtis.
Well, along the same line, but different with male and female. At one time in my life, I spent quite a bit of time in New York. And if you want to see some rough male energy, go to New York. The East Coast is masculine. Then I went to San Francisco. And Los Angeles, very feminine. And so what drew the energy, the male energy from New York to San Francisco, guess what it was?
I don't know. What?
The gold rush.
Oh, yeah.
The gold. See, without the gold rush, the transmigration, the migration.
And that was
would
magnetic.
Would
the
have
gold,
been very,
gold is a magnetic.
Right, it was a very
force.
Magnetic
yeah.
force. So the feminine West Coast drew the masculine East Coast over. By using gold, without which it would have taken who knows how long. But you notice now in San Francisco, the architecture is very similar to New York. So there was a very small gap of time between the architecture of the establishment of the East Coast and the West Coast because of the gold.
Is that the same reason the Giants and the Dodgers left New York?
Went for the gold?
Well, what's interesting, we always talk about the battle of the sexes, and people joke about which sex is superior, and females get really upset if guys act superior, but they're both equal, they're both, I mean, You have a radiant energy creating the activity in the universe, and the magnetic energy directing that activity to create forms and hold everything together. And they're both indispensable. And so it's kind of silly for one sex to complain about superiority or brag about superiority, but they're both very important. But we're living a good time where the female energy is being recognized for what it is. They don't have to pretend to be male anymore. They don't have to move into the male energy, because the female moving in the male energy is like trying to swim upstream. They can use it, but they have to paddle really hard. That's why in a man's world, a woman always complains, boy, they work for a male-dominated company, they say, I have to work twice as hard to get anywhere. And that's true, because they're swimming upstream. You can swim upstream, but you have to try twice as hard. Whereas the same thing with us guys, if we're in a female-dominated activity, we have to swim upstream. So looking this in the right perspective, we're equal but different, and together we make a complete whole.